Hello and a pleasant welcome to Perspectives, our program that reports the issues from the viewpoints of our correspondents. I am Kingsley Obinchere. In this edition, giving our senior citizens a better deal, an urgent plea for action now or forever, prepare for the worst. The heart pilgrimage and anxious organizational moments, and also where customers are just a bother. What happened to the sweet mantra of the customer is always right? Please be our guest. I want to remind you that Perspectives is also available as podcast on GBC Online. Please log on to gbcghana.com, go to podcast, and you can find Perspectives. And now to our stories. It is not for nothing that a musician sang and said, "I wish I'll never grow old." For those in the senior citizen class, this song will strike a familiar note. No one wants to depart life too soon, and that means old age at a point in time. However, not all get into this class in the best of shapes. Apart from the biological phenomenon that brings about some health challenges, many older persons are confronted by social settings that hardly and barely support their well-being. The economic situation has also worsened the aging process, and even where some are on pension, life is not one that they can be proud of, especially when they know they have contributed so much to society. An organization like HelpAge Ghana has forever advocated policies that will support older persons, but they always acknowledge how tough it is to get it right. Older people have rights, just as we talk about that of young people, yet they face discrimination in a way that questions our dedication to their cause. In this story, correspondent Winifred Ephraim wonders why we are not supporting older persons the way we should as a society. She says if we fail to do so, we should not forget the path we are laying for ourselves.
Passing through one of the residential neighborhoods in Accra at about 6 p.m., I bumped into a neatly dressed old man. He was about 80 years old, barefoot, and he seemed confused and was staggering. As I observed him, I wondered whether he was mentally ill and what his fate would be. I noticed two men accompanied by a woman complaining as they walked towards the old man. They asked me if I saw the direction he came from. As I attempted to answer them, they told me he had been missing for a while and that they had been combing the whole neighborhood in search of him, only to find him there. As they struggled to take the old man back home, I reflected on the aged and the challenges they face. These thoughts have led me to dwell on the need for immense support for older people. The World Health Organization, WHO, has defined old age as the last stage of an individual's life process. Generally, 65 years has been accepted as the beginning of old age, especially in Ghana, where one is expected to retire from active service. The Ghana Statistical Service has revealed that the population of older people is rapidly increasing. The problems of older people are increasing as well due to the fact that individuals, families and communities have become insensitive to their needs. Most social groups and agencies are fighting for the youth, children, women and also the disabled. But much is not done about the plight of older people and their needs. Individuals, especially the youth, seem not to remember or maybe simply just don't understand that culturally or biblically, the elderly in the society need to be accorded respect. I have witnessed the elderly being disrespected several times. One such instance which really troubled me was witnessing a trotro mate abusing and was virtually at the verge of hitting a defenseless old man. It was because of a misunderstanding over change. Surprisingly, the other passengers looked on unconcerned. Not to talk about the families of older people who sometimes see caring for the aged as a burden. I cannot forget overhearing a heated argument between two women on whose turn it was to care for their aged father. Some of them are even abandoned by their families when they fall ill. The communities are also guilty. some of whom are banished from their communities into witch camps, while others are disrespected. Successive governments have not done enough to meet the needs of the aged. But who should take the blame for these deficiencies? Though we cannot generalize the challenges the aged undergo, most of the issues confronting them are not peculiar to most old people, no matter their background. Among these challenges are the normal biological aging process, from common cosmetic changes like graying hair and wrinkles, to much more physical decline like hearing and sight loss and general body weakness, to severe changes like bone weakness leading to falls and fractures. Medical conditions like diabetes and hypertension are health issues affecting most aged people. These changes leave them sometimes depressed, dependent, and with huge financial burdens. A few aged people are quite healthy because they are either enlightened, well-to-do, or are just very conscious of their health, though no one is immune to the changes that come with aging. I have observed with interest many aged people, just like the old man I met that evening, showing symptoms of forgetfulness, disorientation, aggression, as well as depression. Experts say symptoms are due to senile dementia, a progressive illness of the aged, which is the main reason why ignorant people in society refer to these people as witches and wizards. To a large extent, awareness about senile dementia is almost non-existent in Ghanaian communities. Generally, there are elderly people who have built a good reputation for themselves. These lucky ones are obviously outnumbered by those who are very poor. The unfortunate ones live on meager pensions, while others survive only on what is offered them. Many older people do not even have any means of livelihood, but only live by the mercies of God. They will have to come to terms with the fact that their children and grandchildren might leave home just when they are becoming more dependent on others. It is worse for those in the rural areas, as the youth there are constantly migrating to the urban centers in search of non-existent jobs. This makes the rural areas concentrated with the elderly, with little or no support for them. We must always remember that the aged have contributed their quota to the development of the country. They have a wealth of wisdom, skills, and experiences, and have lived through situations that we cannot even imagine. They bond families in many ways and take care of their grandchildren when their children go to work. They transmit customs, culture, and tradition. Older people, whether healthy or ill, rich or poor, have families or not, need a lot of support and care because the normal aging process is unavoidable so long as there is life. The issue of older people is therefore very important and should be a matter of concern to all. The earlier we begin putting certain things in place, the better. Educating people, families, and communities on senile dementia, its symptoms, and how to handle it is very important. Considering putting up homes for older people, engrafting aged health training into schools, support and tolerance are other options to help older people. Issues concerning housing, retirement, discrimination, among others, are pertinent and must be addressed as a matter of urgency. The National Policy on Aging, since its establishment in 2013, is yet to be implemented. Some aspects of this policy would have addressed some of these challenges. But in the meantime, as we give support to the youth, women, children, and the disabled, let us all learn to offer the needed assistance and fight towards developing an organized structure for older people. I pray and hope that very soon, issues concerning the aged will be given the needed attention, as everyone will face old age and its challenges unless he or she dies early.
Winifred Ephraim filed that report. It's good to act before the grey hair starts appearing and multiplying. A successful Hajj, how do we describe it? For many potential pilgrims, being able to depart peacefully and return as scheduled is one of the anxious periods in their lives. This is because of previous experiences when even fully paid would-be pilgrims are sometimes left behind in disappointment. Even though the organization of the Hajj pilgrimage has improved over the years in Ghana, a few still think of potential challenges because of previous experience. Till they finish successfully, they are not sure of what to expect. Correspondent Salifu Dabre has been following the organization of the Hajj pilgrimage for a period, and as this year's would-be pilgrims prepare to leave, he shares the story with Perspectives.
Hajj is one of the five pillars of Islam, which an able-bodied Muslim who has the means is expected to perform once in his or her lifetime. However, organizing Hajj in the country over the years was characterized by delay in acquisition of passports, issuance of visas by Saudi embassy, late departure from Ghana to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, overstay in Saudi, and loss of pilgrims' luggage, among others. It is alleged that airlifting of pilgrims to perform the mandatory religious exercise over the years has been marred by incompetence, which some people attribute to unnecessary political or governmental interference in appointing members of the Hajj board. There were instances where would-be pilgrims have to sleep in the open under insanitary conditions for more than a week at the Luak Sports Stadium and at the Vians at the Kotoka International Airport, just because the Hajj board or committee then were unable to get them flights to Makkah to perform the Hajj ritual. These disappointments and others led to the wide condemnation of the organizers, which compelled the government to dissolve the Hajj board almost every year. The actual struggle began when, in 2005, Muslim stakeholder organizations, namely the Tijaniya Muslims, Al-Sunnah Wal-Jama'ah, Coalition of Muslim Organization Ghana, KOMOK, and Federation of Muslim Women Organization Ghana, FOMWAK, approached the then government of former President John Kufuor through the then Chief of Staff, Kojo Mpiani, with an appeal to hand over the organization of Hajj in the country to Muslims themselves. The government consulted through the stakeholder organizations to manage their own affairs. Government upon government have supported in different ways in the organization of Hajj since 1992. However, on assumption of office in 2009 by the NDC, Hajj management has relatively witnessed some improvement. Prospective pilgrims can now leave for Saudi Arabia as scheduled and on time. In 2010, a Hajj village was constructed to protect the dignity of pilgrims by the then NDC government under the leadership of late former President John Evans Atta-Mills. The thorny issue now is late arrival and loss of pilgrims' luggage after being asked to take the lead back home after successfully going through the Hajj. This was the promise by Hajj agent that their items will follow on the next available flight to Ghana. These and many challenges associated with Hajj organization in the country led to an initiative by the erstwhile NDC government in 2015 to establish the proposed Pilgrimage Authority Bill with a legal backing to regulate the organization of pilgrimage in the country. This was made by fierce resistance by some Muslim groupings in the country against what they described as usurping of their religious mandate by the then government. Initially, it started like a rumor, but the straw that broke the camel's back was when more than 35 Muslim religious denominations and organizations received letters from the then Minister of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, Mrs. Elizabeth Ofosu-Jari, inviting them to a stakeholders' conference on a draft National Pilgrimage Authority Bill to regulate, oversee and supervise the organization of pilgrimage in the country. Going by the standard and best practices in secular countries, Hajj organization is handled by Muslims, the reason being that it is purely Muslim affair and must be allowed to organize and supervise their own thing. But a question in the minds of many Muslims and concerned Ghanaians was whether Muslims over the years have been able to organize a successful Hajj themselves. In 2005, I had the opportunity to embark on the pilgrimage at the invitation of the Saudi government. On arrival at the Jeddah airport, about 300 Ghanaian pilgrims, both men and women, were refused entry and they languished at the airport for 3 days without bath and at the mercy of the very cold weather. It took the intervention of the then Ghana's ambassador to Saudi Arabia, Rashid Bawa, and the government of Ghana before the embarrassed and frustrated pilgrims were allowed entry into Mecca. According to the Saudi airport officials, the Ghanaian pilgrims failed to meet the deadline for arrival. In 2008, more than 1,000 Ghanaian would-be pilgrims also got stranded at the port city of Jeddah again beyond the stipulated period as the company Alama Travel and Tours, contracted to airlift the Ghanaian Al-Hajis and Hajiyas back home, failed to do so. To cut the long story short, last year's Hajj was bedeviled with another deportation of about 30 young women. According to the Saudi authorities, the women were not being accompanied by any relatives or husbands, and there was the tendency for the girls not to return back to their home countries after the Hajj. When I contacted some of the young ladies to find out why that unfortunate incident, I was surprised to hear that none of them could speak nor understand any Ghanaian language. They were rather coming from neighboring Cote d'Ivoire, where French is their official language. How they managed to get registered as Ghanaians is not far-fetched. One will be surprised that in spite of the holiness of the exercise to be undertaken in faraway Saudi Arabia, some Hajj agents and members of the Hajj committee will involve themselves in dubious means of extorting monies from unsuspecting would-be pilgrims. This questions the credibility of the board and carve a bad name for it. There is no doubt that a new board needed to be constituted for this year's pilgrimage. The board has renovated the entire Hajj village, including construction of a new clinic and other facilities to help alleviate some challenges that would-be pilgrims go through during such periods. According to the director of communications of the Hajj board, Al-Hajj Abdurrahman Gomda, barring any last-minute hitches, the first batch of 506 Ghanaian pilgrims will leave the Tamale Airport for Saudi Arabia for this year's pilgrimage. The expectations and prayers of Ghanaians, especially Muslims, are that all fully paid would-be pilgrims are elevated to Saudi Arabia, this time devoid of all the previous hindrances. I pray and wish all Ghanaian pilgrims Hajj Mabrur. For Perspectives, Sally Fudabri reporting.
You are listening to Perspectives, our program that reports the issues from the viewpoints of our correspondents. Perspectives is also available on GBC Online. Please log on to gbcghana.com and you can be with us as you click on podcast. The customer is always right. And now to our next story. The customer is always right. At least that is what we are made to appreciate until you get to a point where you revise that statement. Maybe in your head, to read, the customer can please him or herself. From the driver's maid to the highest level of service, we all appreciate being served well by very courteous people. Even in very difficult situations, those who understand real customer service will make you feel better. However, some have abandoned what it means to give exceptional customer service. In Trotro, this is called the Wuntimi Asifuam factor, or you either take it or leave. With many organizations working very hard to woo customers, it has become essential to ask about the people who are tasked to interact with their publics. Recently, when correspondent Pascaline Adadevo came into contact with one customer service officer, she knew it was time to evaluate what she thinks about their performance. What happened?
Let me begin this piece with this question. Can any organization survive without a customer? If the answer is no, why do some people tasked with customer service duties behave the way they do? I am of the view that those engaged in customer service, whether as secretaries, tellers, sales agents, waiters, waitresses, and receptionists, must be exceptionally polite and sweet because their real purpose is to serve and help customers resolve their problems. First impressions, they say, last forever. I don't know if I'm the only one, but my level of tolerance when it comes to rude customer service is abysmally low. Some of them can really be insolent. In recent times, I have read a number of people complain on social media about the behavior of some customer service providers. Most of the complaints particularly are about steady communication companies and banks. This kept me wondering and I asked, what has gone wrong? Are people no longer punished for misbehaving towards a customer? What happened to the customer is always right mantra. There is no doubt in mind that in this era of stiff competition, customer service representatives are taking through the basic rudiments of their jobs. For instance, to listen attentively to the customer instead of being defensive even before the person has finished lodging the complaint or making enquiries. One is expected to listen to the issue from the depressed customer's lens, apologizing without apportioning blame and solving the problem or asking someone who can solve it. At times, there is a temptation to think the rude behavior by customer service executives is a make-believe story. But wait till you encounter one, and you'll better appreciate it why people swear never to deal with some institutions or individuals. I have my own experiences too. In my late teens or early 20s, my dad used to risk it by sending me to cash check at the bank, usually meant for my school fees. Those times, I saw middle-aged women, very pretty, with moderate makeup and extremely polite. It didn't matter how young you were, they accorded you the curtsies to feel at home. The trend has changed. Recently, I had the rude shock of my life at my all-time favorite Ghana Commercial Bank. While there to make some inquiries, the security man directed me to a young lady seated. The young lady was engrossed in a conversation that she nodded with her head when I greeted. With no sign of being attended to in view of her conversation, I offered myself a seat. I couldn't be bothered. After all, was I going to stand for the whole period she was on the phone? This lady did not budge. She heartily chatted and giggled annoyingly. In such a situation, it is extremely difficult to cock your ears, so I became a passive listener to her conversation. I overheard her tell the person at the other end of the line to bring her lunch, adding that her fufu should not be hard and not too soft. There I rolled my eyes in annoyance. After satisfying herself with the lunch conversation, she now turned to welcome me with what I can describe as a fake smile, trying to be nice. I reciprocated with a fake smile too. I then proceeded to make my inquiries and walked out. This banker couldn't even apologize for keeping me waiting for at least 10 minutes. She just couldn't be bothered. And what shocked me was the fact that a supposed head of that department was seated close by. Anyway, I muttered to myself. A friend once told me how two tellers vacated their cubicles at prime time to go for lunch whilst there was a long winding queue. The desperate customers whined, raved and ranted, but to no avail. Another ridiculous story I heard was about a receptionist who chose to polish her face while a visitor stood waiting to be attended to. When the visitor complained, she rudely retorted, "Ask the person you are visiting how long I have been working as a receptionist in this organization. The accounts will say, meba ha chefo." I will not mince words. This MBA attitude is popular with most state institutions. You dare complain and they remind you of your date of employment. Recently, I encountered some behavior at a new salon I visited that got me crazy. The salon is solely for the treatment of natural hair. I decided to pamper my dreadlocks by going there for a change. I got there about 3 hours to their closing time. Whilst I waited for my turn, one of the ladies emerged from nowhere visibly angry, instructing her colleagues in gang not to take any more customers and that they should tell me to go and come the next day because they are tired. I pretended I didn't understand what she was saying. I tried so much not to show signs of disappointment and anger. Even though my heart raged with anger, I composed myself. The lady was so rude, as if I was a rival or a sworn enemy. I said in my mind, like, seriously? Are they thinking that I'm not Ghanaian, and so the Ghan language is alien to me? What ignorance can do? After misbehaving, she walked out, reminding them again that if they don't ask me to go, she will not help them fix my hair. Granted that the excuse of being tired is genuine, couldn't they have put a friendly customer behavior which can convince me to make the offer to come the next day? Why that state of customer service when it comes to some people? I had no other option than to pick my bag and leave. One thing is certain, I won't return to that salon again, and I won't recommend them to anyone. These stories cut across, and people share a million and one encounters. Are we breeding a society of disrespectful people? Can the religious and moral education in schools do any magic to address the canker? Enter a shop or go to the market and ask for the prices of one or two products without buying, and you regret stepping there in the first place. Why have we become this hostile? Customer service, if done right, is an efficient, positive feedback mechanism from clients and also improves a company's revenue. When customers are upset, they certainly will go about making disparaging remarks that have serious image problem for the organization. That is why a satisfactory customer representative must possess certain customer service qualities. In this 21st century, customer service has evolved into a more sophisticated and multifaceted business asset that requires service training. Organizations and businesses must not employ just anybody at all to take the position. As a role, my big eyes, I look forward to better days when we become a more decent, respectful, and accommodating society. For Perspectives, I am Pascaline Adadevu.
And that is where we wrap it all up for today. As mentioned earlier, Perspectives is also available as podcasts on our website at GBC Online. Please log on to gbcghana.com, gbcghana.com. Click on podcast and you can have access to the program. We have received a lot of your messages and we'll keep addressing them for you. But Mr. Annan, thanks for yours. We appreciate how you say you are a prisoner in your room till the program is over. Keep listening. And also Divine of Kutubabi, your script requests will be addressed. But don't forget you have access to the program as podcasts on GBC Online. And also, coming soon will be your special GBC Online program where you will get to hear from your favorite correspondents. For those who still want to get in touch, your text or WhatsApp line is 0244-538-168. 0244-538-168. And on Twitter, it's at K Obinchere, at K Obinchere. You can send email to tkok212@gmail.com. tkok212@gmail.com. On behalf of Joyce Jechi, I am Kingsley Obinchere once again saying, please be our guest same time next week as we keep the peace.